art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it's not no magic formula, you know, to be repeated over and over again, but it gives, you know, some key things to how we supposed to go to God. And I want to, you know, kind of divvy that up a little bit. Let's dive into that on the Lord's Prayer. It starts with worship. It starts with worship. Our Father who art in heaven. We're worshiping him. We're letting him know that we worship him. And we have to align our lives with his will. So we should approach God with a deep respect. Deep respect. I mean, you know, as you was coming up, you know, I don't know about now these days. These kids are very disrespectful. No offense, young lady. But, you know, back in the day, if your mom was saying you better respect, you was going to respect not just your mother and your father. You was going to respect the neighbors as well, okay? It was no getting out of line with the, you know, so that's how we need to be approaching God with deep respect because, you know, he is our loving father. He loves us beyond measure in spite of us. In spite of us, he still loves us. You know what I mean? So, you know, we pray, you know, that more and more people would see this. But again, we got to exercise it with our lives. We are sometimes the only Bible some people are going to ever see. Because everybody's not going to be saved. I hate to, you know, say that, but we know that. Everybody is not going to be saved. Sure, I don't want people to not be saved. I want everybody to know. I want everybody to know. I was having a conversation with my, you know, you spend a lot of time at your place of business, whoever's still working. I'm at my job a lot of hours. And we was having a conversation about something on yesterday, and sometimes I can get a little disappointed in people. Okay, as I'm sure sometimes I might disappoint some people. But yesterday we was having this conversation because this, you know, we got this younger generation coming in, and you know they want to take over and do this and do that. And there's nothing wrong with them learning. I think that they should learn things, but then they come in and they get a little disrespectful, and that kind of behavior is unacceptable in my opinion. It is. It's unacceptable. And, you know, when you start coming in, you disrespecting people, and you like, oh, he lucky he got the right one, because I know he won't come talk to me. I know he ain't going to come talk to me like that, right? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I need to, you know, adjust my attitude because my testimony can be tainted by my actions. And I had the conversation with my coworker, and I'm like, he's like, I know, you know, you from the streets or whatever. I said, yeah. I said, but I know that, you know, I don't want to be in HR, number one, because I still need my job. And second of all, the most important thing is that God is watching me. And I'm happy that the Lord checked me before my actions said something different. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, sometimes we got to stop and check ourselves. Because, again, just that quick, you know, me being upset and, you know, discombobulated about somebody else's behavior almost made my behavior turn a different way. And then what would that say about me as a Christian? So I know people are watching me. So that means that I have to be even more careful because I know I'm going to be held to a higher standard with the Lord, not so much with man and not so much with, you know, people that I love, but with God. And that's ultimately what my life is all about. Am I perfect? No. Please don't ever think that. But I know who I serve, and I know, you know, why I am who I am today. And who I belong to. Because I know I belong to the Lord, I have to, you know, think twice and three times and sometimes four times before I act. Amen? So, you know, and again, that's the great pleasure of walking with the Lord. Amen? You know, because I know that the God, you know, he has a great plan for his people. And his people can be the world. It ain't just us. It can be the world. So, you know, it's important for us to, you know, share this information with others. Amen. So today, you know, we got to choose again to align our lives with what God would have us to do. Amen. Amen. So moving forward, more with the Lord's Prayer. We ask for things that we need. Again, going on to the prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have, you know, our debtors. Amen. So now, again, we got to break that down because after we worship and we accept his plan, we got to talk. We talk about our own needs. Again, that daily bread, that shelter, that food, that clothing, and be aware that, you know, he is the one who's providing these things to us. not of us, out of ourselves. We are not providing anything. Yes, God gives us the limbs, the activities of, you know, give us the, you know, the skill set to do certain things. But if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have any. Just think about some people that can't get out and work. Some people, you know, some people might have disabilities. Some people might, you know, have a lot of, you know, disabilities where they might not be able to see. They might not be able to walk. They might not be able to talk. But God gave us the limb, operation of our limbs. Amen. And we have to, you know, even think about asking the Lord to forgive us for the things that we think, that we say, and that we actually do. Amen. Listen, we got to check ourselves, because we're in that first line of defense. Because again, we're saying that we you know, walking with the Lord, does our behavior exhibit it? Does the thoughts that come to our mind, because some people can't see what's in your mind, but you know what's in there. I know what's in there. In my own mind, not y'all minds. I know it's in my mind. You know what I mean? So, you know, you just have to remember to say, Lord, please forgive me. And not only that, we got to forgive. Now, I know that's hard. That's one of the hardest things you can do, is to forgive somebody when they have done something wrong to you. And the reason why is because, my own personal testimony, is when somebody do something to me, I feel like a law has been broken and they need to be penalized to the fullest extent. That's just me. Amen. However, then I got to think about it. How about the things that I've done to somebody? Do I want to be forgiven? God forgave all of us. And he continues to forgive us and going to forgive us for what we're going to do. For what we're going to do. That's right. So who are we not to forgive somebody else? Regardless of what it is. I know there are some things, like I said, that seem like they are unforgivable. But when you line it up, and use Christ as your model, who suffered on our behalf, who was totally innocent. And we not always innocent. Come on now, y'all. Let's keep it real. We ain't always innocent. But God still forgives us. And he still loves us in spite of us. In spite of us. And that's what this assurance is all about, y'all. It's understanding that no matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter what we think, God still loves us. In spite of us. So just think about, when I say us, what, think of something that you might have thought, said, or done that you know God shouldn't have forgave you for. I got a whole lot in my mind about me, okay? Yes, exactly. That's right. So again, we have to be, you know, understand that forgiveness does not just stop with, oh, you know, I dropped this paper on the floor. Somebody need to come pick it up. What about the murderer, the rapist, the killer? They still need forgiveness as well. Does that make it right? No. But they still deserve forgiveness. And that is very difficult when you get to them crimes that, you know, are senseless. So just think about the state that this world is in right now. This world needs love and forgiveness. That's what it needs. That's exactly what it needs. So we got to learn to forgive as well. Amen? Amen. I know it's hard. Then we got to ask the Lord for some protection, you know, so that way he do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen? And although, again, we're God's children, we still tend to sin. How many is sinless in here? Raise their hand. I said sinless. Okay, I know y'all didn't understand what I said at first. That's why I had to say it again, because I saw some hands starting to go up. I'm like, wait a minute now. So we have to ask him through the Holy Spirit to guide us away from those tempting situations, because we're going to have some tempting situations. Listen, the enemy know exactly what we like. Exactly what we like. And he going to bring it to you. All looking wonderful, perfect. And I'm not saying that the God don't want us to have good things, and, you know, but again, it has to be lined up with what God would have us to, you know, want. We got to line up with his will, not our own selfish will. Because, listen, I need me that XJS Jaguar, right? That's what I need. That's what I think I need. You know what I mean? You know, maybe a little gold, and then you know, maybe I even get it custom made and get it purple. That's my favorite color. Hey, listen, but it ain't in line with what God would have me to have. I'm going to be broke trying to pay for this car. And don't let it need some repairs, because then I'm going to be, you know, paying more money. Might not even have nowhere to live, but I'm going to have that XJS Jaguar in purple. Okay, so the enemy know I want this car. But God says, nope. But when I get to heaven, guess what? Sister going to have an XJS purple Jaguar, okay? That's all. That's in my mind. That's embedded in my mind. That's what I'm going to have. I can't have it here on earth. And, you know, and listen, that's just, you know, me, you know, being me. But I know that, you know, God has so much more in store for me here on earth. And materialistic things is not it. That's not it. The sister was telling me today, I was walking in and, you know, I was dragging my jacket. And, you know, she said, your jacket's dry. I said, that's a coat. I'm not that I don't like the coat, but I had it for a lot of years. But you know, and again, I do got to be a good steward of the things that the Lord has given me. But that's a coat. I mean, I appreciate, you know, her looking out for me and saying, you know, you dragging the belt, but that's a coat. That stuff can be is replaceable. My soul is not replaceable. Our souls are not replaceable. So again, let's, you know, the goal is to be in line with the Lord. Don't let Satan trick you into thinking this is what you need. No, I need the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal savior to get me through so I can get to heaven. That's the ultimate goal, is to get to heaven, right? Amen. What's next here? Once we, you know, say those prayers, we gotta bring it back. And I was saying earlier, it's like we don't want anybody to perish. I love my loved ones. Again, you know, case in point, my brother. I have, you know, younger brother who's a Muslim. That's a fake Muslim, if y'all don't understand what that means. And I love my brother. That's my little brother. You know, Tawana, tell you, I've ride and die with this boy since he was a little boy. I mean, that was some of my fights that I got into when I was young, because nobody better not be messing with my brother. None of my brother, my older brother, or my youngest brother, and my older sister, or my younger sister. I was the middle child, so I was the one I was just very rebellious. I ain't want nobody messing with my family, or if it was going to be on. And I didn't think that I could beat no man or no guy, but guess what? That's what I was out there doing. I was fighting guys. Girls wouldn't even mess with me because I was fighting boys. And if I had to use a brick, if I had to use a cane, if I had to use any crutch, whatever it was, if I couldn't beat you, I was coming back and it was going to be on. That was just me. So, you know, I love my brother and I don't want him to perish. I don't. And I minister to him. Just like I'm sharing the goodness of the Lord, I minister to him, and he might not like it, or he might not accept it right now, but he knows it. Because when he need prayers, he's calling me. And I talk to my brother quite often, if not every day. I talk to him quite often, and he knows what I stand for. When he come on my house and we praying in the name of Jesus, okay? So I don't tell, listen, it is what it is. Because I don't want him to perish. And again, we grew up in church. So it's not like he don't know the goodness of the Lord. He knows. But, you know, unfortunately, he served 20 years in prison. So, you know, sometimes people, you know, in that particular situation, that's what they resort to. But I tell you, I've been here, Redeemer, over 20 years. And throughout his life, his time in prison, we was here, Redeemer, praying for him. And he came to visit Redeemer when he came out, too. Amen. So, you know, I praise God. So, again, we have to share the gospel. You know what I mean? And spelling out gospel is go into the world. Obedience is required. Salvation is provided. Preaching is commanded. Eternal life is promised. And love has provided it. So, you know, that's just one of the, you know, for gospel acronym, there's some, you know, things that you can, you know, spell out with that. And even got some scriptures to line it up with it. You know, if anybody want to copy that, I'll make sure you get it. Probably not tonight, but I can bring it back, bring a copy of this back next week, you know, perhaps page slide 7, so that way you guys have it, amen? So just imagine that, you know, again, we talking about sharing the gospel. Just imagine that, you know, you had a simple cure for cancer or something like that. Cancer, you know, cancer is rampant in this world. you would want everyone to know about it, right? Because you, we got so many people dying of cancer and having diabetes. So, I mean, diabetes, that's kind of different. You just have to change your lifestyle. But cancer is sometimes deadly. And if you had a cure for it, you'll want to share it with the world. I know I would. I don't like to see people die of cancer. Any kind of disease, you don't want. So if you had the cure for it, you want to share that with people, right? So, again, that's just like the gospel. Why would you not want to share something that's good for somebody's eternal soul? Yes, we want to share that information. So that means we got to get out there and, you know, let you, this sick humanity, because humanity is sick. Just think about all the things, again, that's happening in this world. This world is sick, and it needs Jesus. And we are the ones that got to get out there and share this. We got to share this information, all right? That's all I want to say for right now. Anybody want to share anything for a moment? I'm getting a little heated right now because I think about when you listen to the news. Sometimes I don't even want to watch the news because it's always something just negative on there. And even if it's not killing, it's the politics. You know, it's the bickering and the fighting. And I'm telling you, I pray for this world. And even when I don't know what to say, I know that the Holy Spirit understands what I'm trying to say. And I just anybody want to share anything right now? I'm going to digress for a moment.
Hello, everybody. I just want to share and just say what I believe here is a rehearsal for the true heaven. And what you do down here, just think about it. Like I said, forgiveness. You can't forgive. You think you should be forgiven. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I just believe peace, love, and happiness is in my spirit. I ask for it every morning. And wherever I'm asking for peace. I believe in a smile. You know, it doesn't cost much. But honestly, the rehearsal that you do here, it's not about you. It's about who you attacked in the way of helping them to know that there is a God in heaven. All of us called on him, not just the day or the day before. We'll be calling tomorrow, too. So I'm a firm believer that he do exist. It ain't about me, y'all. It ain't about just us. It's people need to see that there is a God in heaven.
Amen. Anybody else want to share something? Amen. That's my helper right there, y'all.
I just want to say that I'm glad that you started off with prayer and our salvation. And because it reminds me about what we learned. I've been here like, 3 years? And Pastor Hughes had said, yes, it should be spirit-filled. And we should have reverence and respect and line our lives up to God's will. Not what we want, because we know what we want, and we know who can give us what we want. In my line of work, I work in behavioral health. Today, I had a client, oh, I'm getting emotional. He was doubting his salvation. Yes, and he had been clean and sober for not a very long time, but he fell, like most of us do, you know. Something traumatic happened in his life, and he fell, and he found himself at the liquor store, and he got himself. One of my questions is asked, you know, what's your drug of choice? What's your drink of choice? How much do you spend? So I said, well, okay. So did you get the little bottle or the big bottle? You know, so he got the enormous bottle. I was like, oh, my God. So I'm thinking, well, that was 2 weeks ago. Probably still got it. I'm thinking. And I forgot that I'm talking to an alcoholic. And he was like, oh, I've been back there 3 times. And he got 6 enormous ones. Oh, so you got reserve. So now, you know, I had to, like you said, dear God, help me right now to, you know, get this man to salvation first, because he was like, God does not like me. And that's what got me to talk to him, that he does. And I said, you know, he does love you. Because he said that there's a song out that God doesn't like me, and I self-medicate. What kind of record is that? So, anyway, make a long story short, he's going to get an assessment, and he wants to get his life back.
We praise God for your testimony and, you know, helping him. Because, again, that's what the world needs. The world needs us to help them to find God. They need the Lord. And the good thing is, and like I say here, is like sometimes we got to tell our own story about what we went through before God saved us. Amen. And it can start with, you know, you sharing with a friend or simply telling them what happened to you to make you give your life over to the Lord. And John's gospel tells us how Jesus healed the blind man. And all that blind man was saying, all he said was, all I know is I was blind, but now I see. And that in itself was his testimony, that he couldn't see, but now he could. And guess who helped me to see? Jesus. So again, that could be our testimony. I couldn't see my way from not going to that liquor store. But Christ said, this is it, no more. Those six that you had, either throw them away, or that's it. If you drank them already, that's it. So again, sometimes it just start that simple, is us telling our story to somebody so they can understand what it is that God did for us. Amen? Then the next thing is to tell them God's story. Tell them all about Jesus. Amen? After telling our story, we got to share what the problem is. The problem is sin. Our lives are filled with sin. Amen? And what the solution is. The solution is Jesus. Jesus is the solution, guys. You know, and again, Romans sums that up in 6:23. The cost of sin is what? Death. That's right. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is simple things that we can do to share the goodness of the Lord. Because we don't want, you know, to be selfish and keep God to ourselves. Because he's too good. He got so much to give. Too much to give. So who are we to try to hoard it all? We need to be sharing. Our lives is that sharing. Amen? Praise you, Lord. Let's sing. And we just talked about this too. We got to do it in the spirit. The beginning of Acts tells us, but you know, you will receive power. We got power, y'all. And the second part of that verse talks about how, you know, we are to look to Jesus. And even, you know, going on, and if we go to Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, it talks about the Holy Spirit will teach you the very way what you ought to say. Amen? You know, so that means that we have to help others look to God. Sometimes in prayer, you know, sometimes, and even if, you know, if you don't know what to say in prayer, again, the Lord knows what you need, what they need. So we can just, you know, hum to the Lord because he knows. He knows all about everything. But are we really relying on the power of the Holy Spirit? That's what we have to rely on, the power of the Holy Spirit, guys. It's there waiting for us. Amen? And that's how we have to help others to look to Jesus. You know what I mean? Like in the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, tell your story. Let the you know, your friend or, you know, your coworker or somebody know what it is that Christ did for you. And then you tell them all about, you know, God, who God is. Not everyone will decide to follow Christ, though. Everybody not going to follow Christ. Our job is to just share the good news, and God going to take care of everything else. God going to take care of everything. I love the way Dr. Charles Stanley says it. He says, if we obey and everything else, leave it up to God. God got us. He didn't have us. Even when we didn't know he had us, he had us. Even when we didn't know. Listen. Okay, y'all know I had to just run my mouth sometimes, but my personal testimony is, you know, I had a child at a wedlock. I was 18 years old when I had my first son, only birth son. And I was working right after I graduated from high school. I graduated from high school, and I started working at the Federal Reserve Bank in Philadelphia. So I was there, you know, temporary. And my life, I wasn't walking with the Lord back then. I was 18 years old. I was out there having fun, you know, doing my own thing. But when I gave my life over to the world, to the Lord, I realized that even all them, and my son was a teenager by the time I really gave my life back over to the Lord. So even in all, and that's when I really realized, I'm like, God was watching me the entire time. Because even after I had my son and I wasn't working there for a minute, I'm going to say about maybe 3 months. So I was doing jobs here and there. The Lord, the next year in 1985, allowed me to go back to the Federal Reserve Bank. And that was 32 years ago. I'm still there today. So y'all know that ain't nothing but the Lord. That ain't nothing but the Lord. And the job is a very secure job. And I've gone through some decommissioning in some of the areas that I was working in. Didn't think I was going to have a job. But I was okay with even not having a job because God was still looking out for me. I knew he was going to look out for me because that's what he does. But I'm, again, my testimony is that he looked out for me for 33 years now. Because that's how old my oldest is, 33 years, that I've been at this same job for all that many of years. Again, went through different, you know, positions, but I know it wasn't nothing but God. So I know what he's capable of doing because he did it for me. And I share my testimony on how, you know, I was a bad little girl. I was a tomboy. I was bad. But look, you know this ain't nothing but God. This ain't nothing but God. This ain't nothing but God. I know this ain't nothing but God. So, you know, this unlimited salvation that he has for me and for all of you helps me to stay in line with his will for my life. I have to rely on him. I told y'all, if not last week, the week before that, you know, I have to wake up, go to sleep with devotions, you know, reading his word. Sometimes I fall asleep and I put my earphones on because, you know, you got the Bible on your phones now. So, you know, it can talk to you. So sometimes I go to sleep with my earphones on with the word playing. Yes. And you know, I wake up and it has stopped, or sometimes it's still playing. But, you know, that's what we have to do. We have to be in this word. This word got to be in us. It has to be. Amen. We need to never lose our connection with God. So sometimes, you know, I know I said I use my phone sometimes to listen to the Bible, but sometimes you got to put it on do not disturb. And that's, you can do that with your phone. You can put it on do not disturb, or you can turn it off, because sometimes it can be a distraction. One of the things I love about my phone is, like, when I'm driving, it automatically goes in do not disturb. That's a blessing right there, because you know phones is a big distraction when somebody's driving. So what I got in the habit of doing, since I know it's going to be, I can't use it anywhere, I just leave it in my bag. It's nothing that important unless, you know, one of my kids have a problem, my grandkids, if, you know, somebody has a problem, yes. But it's not worth me losing my life by being on this telephone. And my family knows that. Listen, first of all, I'm not a phone person. I love you, and I'll talk to you. But I'm not the one to be on the phone for long periods of time having a conversation. We need to discuss what we're going to discuss, and let's get it over with. I love you. I'm telling you, I love you, but I'm not the one to be on the phone for long periods of time. I'm just not. You know what I mean? And you'll get somewhat of a godly attitude if you know, you talking too long. Like, okay, we gotta wrap this up, right? And my family know by, like, usually 8 o'clock, it's already time for me. So I'm already past my bedtime, because I told you I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. But it's okay, because actually I'm on call this week at work, so I kind of am taking naps this week, because, you know, I'm on call. That's another whole nother story. However, I'm trusting in Jesus. What my slide says, so, you know, we gotta trust in Jesus no matter how messed up our lives may be. That we are, although, you know, there's never a perfect child, but always perfectly God's child. We are always perfectly God's child, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter what we think. So no one has ever been lost while trusting in Jesus. Nobody has ever been lost by trusting in Jesus. Ever. So, and it's another thing. Let me just think about a GPS. Y'all know about GPSs, right? You either got them on your phone or you got the actual little box. What did we do before GPSs, y'all? We either had a map or we got lost somewhere, right? Okay. Yeah, thank you. Yes, you still get lost even with the GPS. So, God is our GPS. His word is our GPS. But it never will leave you astray. It will never leave you lost anywhere. It's going to keep you on the right path. Amen. Yes. That's our GPS, is the Bible. It's going to get us to where we need to be. And where's that at? Where's our goal? I'm going to heaven, okay? I'm ready. I'm not saying I'm ready to die, but I'm ready to be with the Lord. Okay? Listen. So, you know, just think about it. Just, you know, be honest with yourself. If any, you know, I mean, we can sugarcoat things and, you know, put on this facade like, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. You know, the Lord is good all the time. You know, I'm blessed by the best. Keep it real sometimes with people, because sometimes people need to hear exactly what it is that you're going through. Because, again, some people are going through what you're going through or what you have been through, and they need that testimony. Amen? I'm going to digress for a moment. If you got any comments, questions, anything, our brother back here. That's all right. Listen, that's what we here for.
I mean, I'm just saying, I actually believe that somebody's always watching you, whether you know it or not. So, you know, I think, and I love the way God works, because there are times that you may want to do something, then you get guilty. I get guilty, so it's like, conviction is, it works for me. And I'll never be perfect, but I know. So I'm just saying.
Be the glory. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord. So, you know, don't lose your connection with God. Just, you know, keep in line with the Lord. Amen. I love God, y'all. I really do. And, you know, just like it says, abide in him. We got to abide in him. And, you know, the Apostle John gently reminds us that, you know, it's demonstrated by, the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit producing a changed life. Holy Spirit, listen, we changed folks, right? Listen, I was that rebellious little girl, tomboy, wanting to fight all the time. So now I'm on, you know, fighting for the Lord. I'm fighting for the Lord now. That's a different type of fight. And not that I'm being angry about it or, you know, trying to force my way into somebody's life, but I know that the Lord is changing lives through me. And I praise him for that. It's nothing of me, but everything of him. Everything of him. So I praise him for that, because if it wasn't for him, I might not even be here. And I know I wouldn't be with him because of who I was. So I'm happy to be able to, you know, abide in him and let him abide in me, so that way I can share the goodness of who he is. That's what it's all about. This is not about me. Not about me at all. So we want to be ready when Jesus returns. Don't y'all want to be ready? I want to be ready, okay? So that means that I got to be in line with what he want me to do in my life. This ain't no joke. I can't be playing with God. I'm not playing with God. And the way that we do that is we have to be with Jesus every moment. I'm not even going to say every day. Every moment of every day. We got to be with him every moment of every day. Amen? So if we, you know, if our words really measure up to what he wants, then we're pleasing him. I want to please God. I don't want to displease him. I mean, we always want to try to impress somebody. Impress the Lord. Well, I'm trying to impress people. What they going to give me? Listen, I ain't got time for that. I'm sorry. I love y'all, okay? I really, really do. But, you know, there's like four types of people, okay? And these are the four types of people. Those who are saved and they know it. I know I'm saved, okay? Listen, I'm going to tell y'all straight up. I know I'm saved, all right? You got a second type of people who think they saved, but they not. They playing. This third type of people, they ain't got no recollection of trying to give their lives over to the Lord. They just ain't thinking about it. And then you got some, yes, and then you got those who make profession of, who don't make any kind of profession of Christ at all. So we got four type of people. I'm number one. We number one. Who number one up in here? I'm number one. All right, I know I'm saved. All right? Listen, I know that, you know, it's God's work in me, in my human heart, in my humanity, that keeps me in line. Am I perfect? Nope, not by far a shot at all. But I know God has delivered me. And because he has delivered me, I can serve him with gladness because I love him. And because I love him, I love all y'all. I love people. I really do love people. Like I said, not that sometimes people don't get on my nerves. And I know that I get on people's nerves too. But I still love because God loves me. That's right. Sister Juan.
How y'all doing once again? God bless y'all. I wanted to expound on my sister Tracy, because when I first came to Redeemer, Tracy wasn't saved. I thought I was saved. Then she was invited, and she didn't know nothing about the Lord. I mean, we went to church, but she wasn't trying to hear it then. So I just wanted to share with you all, this is how I got here. Somebody invited Tracy to come, and she asked me to come. And guess what y'all got, Sister Tawana? God bless y'all in the name. But thanks God for this one over here, all right? Not only is she my blood sister, she's my sister in Christ, and I couldn't ask for a better one. God bless you, baby.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. But I just want to expound a little bit on what Tawana just said. I didn't want to have nothing to do with God, because there was people, and I was looking at folks that were professing to be saved, and their behavior exhibited something totally different. So that was a turnoff for me. And I'm like, well, how are they going to be going to church and saying they saved and they acting crazy? But then I came to Redeemer. You know what I mean? And that's how you really saw. So and then I came to Redeemer, and Pastor Croft was a teacher. He wasn't just a preacher. He was a teacher. And he taught how you're supposed to live. You know what I mean? And that's what, inspired me to really want to really learn more and more and more about the Lord. Not so much just pastor, but, the teachers that were here. And I know some of them have gone on to glory, but it was just, the way that people that I was, that you need to see people exhibit the word of Christ. I mean, you have to look at people's lifestyles. And some of the people that, unfortunately my sister's ex-in-laws were not those people. And they were really into the church. And it was discouraging to see people like that saying that they were into church. And I know that they'd be, and I wasn't being judgmental. It was just that I was seeing things that didn't line up with what I thought God was. So that's why I didn't want to have nothing to do with with the Lord. And then the person who invited me, I don't know if any of you know, Steve Heyman invited me here. Me and him used to work together. Now, I don't know if some of y'all really know Steve Heyman, but Steve Heyman was a whippersnapper too. Okay, I know he was straight from South Philly. We worked together. So I knew what he was up to, because we were like sister and brother. And when he invited me here, I was like, well, he must have really changed his life around, because to see it. So when you see it, you know it. And that's how people should see it in you, to know it. And that's what I didn't see when my sister's ex-in-law. So that's my disclaimer. That's my disclaimer. Amen. Oh, Sister Lily first. Deacon Lily, excuse me. Amen.
Just to piggyback off of what you said, everything we do affects those around us, whether it's a good effect or a bad effect. We can't use the excuse, well, this is my life, I'm doing what I want to do, I'm not hurting anybody. Yes, we are, especially when people know that we're Christians. However, we talk, what we do, it affects our children, it affects other members of our families, it affects our friends, our neighborhoods, our people we work with, whatever, it affects them. So, when we're blessed, then they have the opportunity to be blessed. Sometimes we're the one that God will allow to stand in the gap for somebody else. And that's why the devil wants to get us off of the assignment of sharing Christ. So he'll use whatever distractions, it could be. It might be finances. It might be our health, It might be relationships, whatever he can do. Church, dumb stuff, whatever he can use, to get our eyes off of the Lord and not do God's will.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. That's right.
I just wanted that the four different people you had.
Okay. Yeah, got you. but that's very true, Deacon Lily, that, people, again, I told you, our lifestyle. So it's four types of people. Those who are saved and know we are saved. That's all of us, right? Amen. People who think they are saved and aren't. Okay, those who make profession of faith in Jesus Christ, so people are professing but, you know, they faking the funk. And then those who desire to be saved. Those who desire to be saved. Amen. So, if all hearts and minds up, you got more questions, comments? Anything? It's 7:59. Okay, praise God. Praise God.
I just wanted to say real quick, when you were talking about thanking God for being saved for all the times that we didn't even realize we were being saved, when I got saved, that became part of my prayer, and I try to pray that prayer most of every day, because I'm so thankful that not only did God save me, but that he kept me all that time, because had he not kept me, I wouldn't be saved today. So I truly can understand that, because that's how I feel. I am so grateful that he kept me all the times that I didn't thank him. He fed me all the times that I didn't thank him. He kept my children all the time that I didn't thank him. And I'm so thankful to be saved now.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I need some love on that one. That is awesome. Amen.
Hello, everyone. I am a senior citizen, but the thing is, I know I'm a child of God, because God has brought me a long, long ways. I made it too. And no one can tell me he haven't brought me through thick and thin, because I wouldn't be here today if he hadn't. But I went to, never will forget, in my lifetime, when I became a Christian, we had to pray for God to come to us and show us the right way. I never will forget this. I went to this mountaintop, which was a deep valley, and I have down on my knees praying to God to save me, to make me become a child of his. This rattlesnake, which I'll never forget, was rattling around me, rattling and rattling. I said, Lord, please don't let this snake bite me. Please, Jesus, have mercy upon me. Save me, Lord, save me. Guess what? That rattle went off just like that. That I was saved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Because you the only one saved me from that snake. Boy, I never forget that. Thank you, Lord. Because in my heart, you'll always be there. In my pain, you'll be there. So I just keep on praying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen. 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 So, if all hearts and minds, I'm going to close us out. Oh, yes, yes, Deacon Lily, yes, ma'am.
This is just so awesome. And you know what? We serve such a loving God that when Pastor Croft used to teach, he gave us what we needed. The other ministers who taught, he gave us what we needed. When Pastor Hughes was here, he gave us what we needed. And he's given us what we need right now. It's a different higher ground, but hallelujah, it is still higher ground.
Praise him indeed. Praise him indeed. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, 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 yes. And that's what it's all about. Like, you know, we have to stand in the gap. We said that earlier. Like, you know, God is using us. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and we have to be willing servants. And because we are being those willing servants, God is going to honor that. He's going to honor that. Amen. So I'm going to close us out. Are we taking an offering? Are we taking up an offering? Okay, so I'll pray for that as well. Most Heavenly Gracious Father, we just thank you once again this evening, Lord. We want to humble ourselves, Lord, and thank you for being in the midst this evening, Lord, and giving us exactly what we needed this evening, Lord, on assurance of our salvation, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you continue to watch over us, protect us, guide us, and strengthen us, Lord. Lord, I ask that as we leave this place, but never your presence, Lord, that you would keep us safe, Heavenly Father, from harm, out of harm's way, Lord. And Lord, we want to, even right now, ask you to watch over the absent part of our ministry this evening, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would just continue to meet them at their greatest point of need, Lord. And Lord, as we come before you now to give you offering, Lord, we ask that you would just bless that offering, Heavenly Father, for the upkeep of your kingdom, Heavenly Father. We be so careful to give you honor, the glory, and the praise. It is in Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.